Hello, welcome to the season two premiere of the Gaze Into the Blue Light podcast. Season two is going to be called Similar Tastes. I hope you'll join us on this slightly new journey. I'm Steve.
I'm Nikki.
And we have a great show today. We're going to be talking about a couple of interesting food and travel shows. And some of what we've been up to. So let's get it going. All right. Let's start the show. You ready to do this? Season two?
I'm ready to rock.
Wow. You don't just throw that around.
I'm ready to rock at 10:47 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got a cup of coffee.
Nope.
Scrappy's here snoozing.
No wine today because it's 10:47 a.m.
It's 10:47. You wait until at least 11.
Noon.
Right. Because we're responsible people. Well, like I said at the start of the show, we're calling this season two. So you may see on wherever you listen to your podcasts the title change from Gaze Into the Blue Light to Similar Tastes. And we were talking, we are co-hosts, and we were just thinking it's just time maybe for a new,
rebrand.
Rebrand. Yeah, we'll call it a rebrand. Try to make a new logo and do that this week. But I just, we felt like Similar Tastes was a better reflection of what we were doing here. And I started this podcast, which, by the way, has over 1,000 plays.
1,000?
Over 1,000.
Wow.
Like, when I look at the app, it says 1K, which is very satisfying.
It's, like, gone viral, basically. It's
basically viral. Basically viral. Which is exciting. And so, but I started...
Speaking of viral, you started this during the pandemic, right?
Speaking of viral, not the good kind.
Yeah, no.
But the first episode, 31 episodes ago.
31 episodes ago.
Was November 2020.
Wow.
And we lived in a different place.
Dark times.
We literally lived in a darker apartment. Like, there was almost no light.
There were, like, no windows. Well, there were windows. It was a church. We lived in an old church. Very cool, but not a lot of natural light, and it was freezing cold.
And November 2020 was just, it wasn't height of the pandemic, but here in Philly, at least, everything was still closed.
Yeah.
No one was eating at restaurants unless you were outside. People were, you know, I wasn't going into work. You weren't going into work. It was a very... I don't know. It was winter. It was just like
dark
and cold. And really, I was just really looking for a way to connect with my friends, people in general. Even if you were at that point, even where it was just like, I'll just speak into the internet and see if anybody says anything back. That's kind of what it was like.
Yeah.
Just really, like, dedicated to the screen, pretty much, was where I was getting all of my interactions from video games and movies and TV shows and my Kindle.
Yep.
And phone screen.
And I was napping.
And you were taking a nap.
I just the way I dealt with it was just napping and just sleeping. Like, just gonna go to sleep because there's nothing else to do.
And I feel like things have changed.
Yes. So much.
For the better.
For the better.
I mean,
yeah.
A lot has happened since...
Oh my God.
Since then, I don't even want to recall all of the things because they're not all pleasant, but...
We don't talk about the pandemic, though. I mean, I've read a lot of things where it says, like, you know, in the New York Times or whatever, of just, like, we don't... really talk about it collectively with people, even though we all went through this really traumatic time. But yeah, we just kind of are like have moved on a little bit, I think. And yeah, I don't know.
I know I have. There are still a lot of things that I think about, but
yeah,
at least in terms of this project, which has kept going and I think evolved from it's kind of pleasantly, I think, evolved from a lonely man in a cave rambling by himself into a microphone about things he's been watching and books he's been reading to having you here to a more, you know, a livelier type conversation. Mm-hmm. I feel like the general, at least for me, general mood is better.
Yeah.
And the idea of similar tastes fits a little bit better because we are actually going out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're dating?
We're dating, yes.
We're going out? Oh, you meant like outside.
I didn't want to put a
label on
label
it.
On it, you know.
Yeah. But are we going steady?
I like you.
Wow.
Like more than a friend.
Okay. See where this goes. No, but we were yesterday, we were talking on the porch, right? About like the podcast and just like names. We were just like throwing out a bunch of wild names and similar taste fit. And you brought up a good point of like the podcast has evolved into like just you and I talking and like we're married and we have similar taste on, I would say, a lot of things. And so it's just us talking, and that's kind of unique and cool,
mm-hmm.
right?
And we like tasting things.
We like tasting things.
Wine and food, particularly.
Yes, particularly.
I can't think of
particularly.
Other things. But yeah, so that's where we are. I'm going to go through and label all the episodes, like go back and do all the Gaze into the Blue Lights as season one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, if you would like to go back, if you're new or feeling nostalgic for listening to me mumble into a microphone for an hour.
And a man in a cave in November 2020.
You could use it as a time capsule and go back and live that life vicariously through me. You could do that. Otherwise, I think we're going to, you know, it's still going to be the same vibe, same thing. I'm thinking maybe we'll talk a little bit more about food related type things and drink related type things. Mm-hmm. And now that the world has opened up, some of our, you know, experiences going out into the real world.
Yeah. Doing travels.
Stuff, maybe less about me talking about Batman video games. I think if you want somebody to listen to about video games, you know, there's a lot of good podcasts out there. So yeah, that's where we're headed, and we're in season two. It's a fresh start. Spring. I'm drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the sun's out.
The sun is out.
Yeah, it's not actually not raining for once. We had a wild rain yesterday. We had like a tornado watch warning.
One of them.
Yeah, last night it was pretty epic rain and thunder.
Yeah, it was a bad storm, but mm-hmm. this morning was blue sky and sun.
Yeah, what do you got planned? What's on the plans for Sunday? Sunday fun day.
Well, I'm about to have a whole week fun. I'm about to have a week.
Oh yeah, spring break.
Fun
I'm
week.
So jealous. Oh man, I'm so jealous. But no, we do. We are. I don't know why I said what do you have planned. I mean, we are doing something together today.
No, I've got plans.
Oh, well, I thought we were gonna go for a bike ride.
Yeah.
What are your plans?
I don't have any plans.
No, we're going to actually try to go to the art museum and rent the city bikes, I guess you would call them.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. But they didn't have these when we lived in Philly the first time. So a lot of cities now have like the city bikes or those scooters. So we are going to try to go rent the city bikes for the first time since it's sunny and go bike riding along the Schuylkill Boathouse Row.
Yep.
Yeah, walk over to the art museum. It's always, I always love to just like just walk to the art museum and see what's going on. There's
it'll
always
be nice
it'll
and
be
busy.
Crowded. Yeah, I bet the ice cream trucks will be out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like not warm enough for ice cream, but
so perfect except for the wind.
Wind, Karen. It is so perfect except for the wind.
Gusts.
Yeah, gusty.
You know, so hopefully I will be able to stay upright on my bicycle.
Don't fall in the Schuylkill.
The wind gust picks me up.
I think I did see it was like wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour today. I mean, my God, we might go in the Schuylkill.
Perfectly good day.
But wind is ruining it.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I will say yesterday, though, we had the windows open and there was a nice spring breeze coming in,
there
which
was
magical.
It was pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a breeze, though. It's different.
It is different.
Some may argue and say otherwise.
This conversation won't make sense, but we had a long debate with our friends Mario and Karen about wind is the worst, or like wind ruins a perfectly good day.
I think it was wind versus rain.
Oh, wind versus rain. That was it. Oh my God. Yeah. Cause I was surprised talking about rain and complaining about it. And Steve said that he thinks wind is worse than rain. So then we got into a long debate about this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let us know what you think, which is worse, wind or rain.
You know what we can do? On here, you can set up voice messages.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Send us a voice message letting us know if you think wind or rain is worse. I would be so interested to hear about that.
Or we can do like a poll or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Check the show notes. There might be or the show description. There might be a poll question in there if I can figure out how to do that.
Anyway, these are the strange things we talk about.
That's
weird.
Rain and wind sucking terribly. It's a pretty, that's an honest conversation that people really want to hear.
Yes.
And they want to pay attention to.
I think so. Yeah. Breaking news.
Speaking of weather.
Yeah.
This doesn't actually have anything to do with weather.
I know. Why are we talking about the weather? That's usually what you do when you're like, don't know what to talk about. We have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. Do you want to talk about the restaurant?
Yes.
That we went to?
Oh my God. Yes. Let's definitely do that. So we went to Irwin's. We had been wanting to go there since I saw it in Bon Appetit,
you know,
magazine. Best
name.
Of. What? What were you going to say about the name?
I was going to say just the name. Irwin's, just like, I couldn't...
You don't like it?
I couldn't wrap my brain around why it's Irwin's, but it's Sicilian food. And for some reason, I just kept thinking about the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin, and that we were going to eat Australian food.
What?
But it wasn't.
That's
I don't know,
so
I guess
bizarre.
I, like, if it's Sicilian food, I guess I...
What would you want it to be
I guess
called?
I would, like, just stereotypical...
Mario's? Mario's.
I know. I guess Irwin's is completely fine.
It's fine. Maybe the guy's name is Irwin that owns it.
They obviously didn't have any trouble attracting customers.
Yeah, they did not ask you for your opinion about the name of the restaurant. So, okay, but before that, though, we went to formerly Boot and Saddle. So we were in South Philly, where we used to live the first time in Philly. And we went to formerly Boot and Saddle, and it's now called what? Cosmic Waves or Cosmic
Solar
Energy.
Are you done with your
yeah
little thing there? Solar Myth.
I mean, come on.
I think
that's weird.
Or like, vibes. I don't know.
Solar vibes. I mean, it's a weird name, but. I mean, like, I like what they're trying to do. So, formerly Boot and Saddle, it has one of the most epic signs. Like, it's a large boot. And it used to be a bar and also a music venue. And how would you describe it now that it's been rebranded as Cosmic Vibes?
It's still, it's like bar, cafe, jazz place.
Yeah. They had a bunch of records.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a place to go and get a drink and listen to jazz. But live jazz, but there wasn't any playing when we were there.
Oh, it is live jazz only? It's only jazz?
That was the impression that I got, but I could be wrong. Oh. They might have other musical acts there.
Yeah, but I don't know. But they were selling records, but also had a bunch of records behind the bar, like where you might normally have a bunch of alcohol bottles. It was just all records, and they were playing records. It had a good vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there a little early to see what it's really like in the a Saturday evening.
Yeah, we went for a pre-dinner wine. They had a nice wine, really nice wine selection. Natural wines, right?
I don't know. I just got whatever's on happy hour.
I feel like everyone's into the natural wines now because Irwin's also was natural wines, wasn't it? Like a lot of natural wines.
Again, I don't know. You ordered, but I have a feeling natural wines are on a lot of menus now.
I ordered a like $20 bottle of wine that they upcharged us like $40 on, which was upsetting, but that's the way it goes. Anyway, so we went to the Cosmic Vibes, had some wine, and then we went to Irwin's. And that was your first time in Bach Bar or Bach Building. What did you think of the building experience, like to get to Irwin's on the 8th floor?
I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's cool, old school. Mm-hmm. So you can walk down the hallways, and the classrooms are now, at least where we walked, they're kind of like studio, like artist studios.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool way to repurpose that building. All the lockers were still there.
Yeah.
You know, it's
super nostalgic feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge building.
Fun to be in the stairs. And so it's not just going into a storefront. You take a little bit of a journey.
Yeah.
To get there. And the interior of the restaurant, too, was fun.
You know, oh, my gosh. So fun.
Really, really interesting decorations. And the wall and the setup was...
They used old school chairs for a lot of the tables. How would you just... I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. They're like plastic chairs, like different colors, blue, red, just like a school chair. But maybe some people didn't have those chairs in their school. So anyway,
went to a one room schoolhouse somewhere.
Maybe some people went to a fancy school and had better chairs. Are those the kind of chairs you have at your school now?
Similar? Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever's uncomfortable.
But the view, so it was on the 8th floor.
Beautiful view.
Oh my gosh. Amazing view of the city.
Yeah, and out one way was the city, and then where I was sitting out the window I was looking out over the sports stadiums.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lincoln Financial Field and Wells Fargo Center were out there.
Yep.
So nice view.
Beautiful view. Steve and I were having so much trouble figuring out what we wanted to order. We were just like, I don't know. Sometimes we're more decisive. We definitely are the kind of people where when we go out for dinner, we want to like strategize and like try a couple different things, you know, maybe like an appetizer, and then we each get a different meal so we can like share and optimize trying things. But we were struggling. We could not figure out. So then we were just like, let's just do the tasting menu, because we were like, let's just let them choose for us. I think it was because we were so hungry. We hadn't really eaten anything in anticipation. And then we had the wine. So we were a little bit buzzed, very starving and like just had no idea what to do. And I think our waitress hated us, but she came back like 3 times and we were like, we'll just do the tasting menu. So let's go through the what we had and talk about our favorites.
I mean, warm olives, always good.
I took pictures of everything, so you can remember this, even though it was like a day ago.
No, I would definitely forget.
So the first thing they brought us was olives with some pickled onions drenched in olive oil, but nice olive oil, and then a plate of swordfish, which I've never mm-hmm. had. So it was like a piece of swordfish. I would honestly say it was like swordfish in the style of like a cutlet, like a schnitzel.
Oh yeah.
And it had some like nice like radish kind of garnish on top, radish and herbs.
Yeah, it was really crunchy batter.
Oh my god, well, it was so good.
Because swordfish is like a more solid fish. It's not as sturdy. Flaky. It's like steakish. So it was mm-hmm. good. I like that.
So good. And then we ordered some grilled bread. That would be my only complaint, is like it should have come with bread. It didn't come with grilled bread.
Grilled bread was so good.
Oh man, it was so good.
But yeah, we should have had endless grilled bread.
And then the next thing that we got was a salad, if you will. It was like blood oranges, again, just like kind of like drenched in an acidic olive oil dressing with like torn radicchio. Amazing.
Very good.
And then when the plate was done, I actually took a picture. It looked like tie-dye because the olive oil and the blood orange and like whatever acidic had all these like oily drops. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was pretty cool looking. Grilled bread. Then we got the next course they brought out. They do half pasta portions, then full. And they had maybe like 4 or 5 different kinds of pasta. So for the tasting, they brought us 1 full and 2 halves. So they had gnocchi with eggplant. And this type of pasta was called trofi. It was like these little thin,
little twists,
kind of curly Q things, little twists with peas and spring vegetables and a nice dollop of ricotta that you mixed in. Oh my God.
That was probably my favorite out of the pastas.
Yeah, it was so good. And then the full pasta they gave us was spaghetti with clams. Mm-hmm. Pretty classic.
You should definitely get bread with.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. So we ordered grilled bread. Come on, Irwin's. Anyway, so that you, what was your favorite out of the 3 like appetizer things? So the blood orange salad, the olives, and the fish.
The fish.
Me too. It was so good.
I like a sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah. 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 Almost like Asian flavor mm-hmm. in a way, right? Like a cutlet, but like, sweet and sour sauce. Amazing. And then your favorite pasta was the ricotta?
Ricotta and peas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I like the spaghetti and clams. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't dislike it, but...
Yeah, going favorites. And then the main course they brought us was a whole fish. What kind of fish?
Turbot?
Was it?
That's what the server said. I think it's pronounced turbo. Turbot? I don't know.
I think she said it turbot, but it was a whole turbot. And it was whole head on, but they had deboned it. And then it came with some grilled fruits that you squeezed over and herby moment. I don't know what you would call it, but it's like a bowl of a bunch of herbs with olive oil.
Just looking at that picture makes me want to.
I know, I'm kind of like salivating. It was so like just, like buttery, like tender.
There's something about fish, eating fish from a whole fish.
Yeah, it's an experience.
Rather than just a fillet.
Yeah.
I like it much better.
Yeah, but be prepared to like have a fisheye and mouth like looking at you. So if you need to be far removed from the meat that you're eating, this isn't for you. But I feel like if you're going to eat meat, you should have to like see where it came from. But that's just my opinion. And then I didn't take a picture of the dessert, but it was a panna cotta with pomegranates and like a granola. You weren't a fan.
I wasn't a big fan.
Because you don't like pomegranates or just all of it?
I don't like pomegranate seeds. Mm. I don't like the flavor. I get the point of pomegranate seeds. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I just don't like the crunch of them.
I love the crunch.
They kind of bother me.
Yeah, I like the dessert, but what would you say was the highlight of the meal for you?
The fish.
The fish.
I like the interactive element of like opening up a whole fish and eating it. But, you know, yeah, there were no bones, which was nice.
Yeah. I would agree. It was my favorite too. It feels kind of primal, right? Like you feel like you're on Lost or something, or what's that show? Alone.
Alone. Yeah.
Yeah, like just eating like a whole fish.
Well, it was. I'm glad we could pick between chicken, fish, or what was the other entree?
I think it was like rabbit or something.
Oh, rabbit,
it?
Maybe.
Which was no for me.
And so I'm glad we went with the fish because by the time it arrived, I was pretty full.
Yeah. Like,
we had eaten quite a bit.
Yep.
And that grilled bread was so good. But the fish was like perfect. I was a little bit worried, but it was nice and light.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was
the
so
chicken
good.
I probably couldn't have finished a meal with. But
yeah. I agree. Yeah. Amazing meal. Well, get a snack and we'll be right back.
We're back. I think we should talk about the travel shows we've been watching.
Okay.
Food/travel.
I love it.
Well, the reluctant traveler isn't necessarily food.
No, it's more travel. But the searching for Mexico is, yeah, definitely like food travel. Which one do you want to talk about? Oh, my God.
How about the reluctant traveler?
Yeah.
The reluctant traveler is
a set it up.
New series on Apple TV Plus. Uh-huh. It stars... the host is Eugene Levy.
Yes.
Of thousands of movies.
Yeah.
And shows.
What, American Pie? Probably most famous American Pie and Schitt's Creek, I would say.
Yeah. And then, like, Best in Show.
Oh.
And those other movies. But.
Love him.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Apple TV Plus. I think there are maybe 7 or 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. He goes to various places. We watched 2 of them so far. We watched Finland.
And oh my God, why can't we ever remember? Is it somewhere in Portugal or no
Portugal.
Lisbon?
Lisbon, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Lisbon.
Lisbon. I am not a huge fan.
Yeah,
of the show.
Same here, and I feel like there was an interesting article in the New York Times maybe last weekend, the New York Times magazine that comes with the Sunday edition, and they were kind of talking about how so many celebrities now are like having travel shows, right? Like it's become a thing, like Zac Efron show, which the first season was actually really good of that. It was like him and some other dude they were focused more on like sustainable travel. But Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy, which was amazing. And now the kind of spinoff of that is Eva Longoria Searching for Mexico. This Eugene, there's been so many celebrity travel shows.
So it's in the same vein as host central shows.
Right.
And then sort of like the opposite would be like Rick Steves, which is like
right
basically like a guidebook, like go here and pay, make sure you get the ticket for whatever, and then it's then you can check out these amazing views. But
yeah, he's Rick Steves isn't overshadowing the show, whereas like Eugene, like that's what the article was saying, it's like these celebrities such as Eugene Levy like is sort of overshadowing the show rather than the place or what he's doing.
And I mean, it could just go for whatever your mood is. Like with Stanley Tucci searching for Italy, I mean, I felt like he's a bit of a cheeser for the camera, but I felt like it didn't take away from it because he was so enthusiastic about everything.
Yeah,
that he was. He loved it. And you got like Somebody Feed Phil, where like that's another one.
Yeah,
he's a major cheeseball. And it's
over the top.
He's doing a comedy act in some places, but it feels genuine. And
yeah,
when he really likes something, you feel like he really likes it. Mm-hmm. But you do tend to like pay more attention to him.
Yep.
Than where
the place
where they are. Yeah, you remember his reactions and his lines more. You remember Tucci's outfits and glasses more than like the scenery of where he was.
What don't you like about The Reluctant Traveler?
So,
or how would you describe the vibe of it?
I mean, his thing is, you know, they're searching for Mexico, searching for Italy. There's getting street food. I don't know. Every travel show kind of has their own like thing. And this one is that he's reluctant. Like the bit is that he's traveling somewhere and people are like, here's a fun new experience. You can do this. And he's like, no, I don't really like doing these things. I don't like traveling.
Yeah.
And then
reluctant, but also he just downright refuses to do some stuff too. He's like, nope, I'm not doing that. And it's just like, oh, well then why are you doing the show?
Yeah. Or like for the Finland, they served him reindeer. All right. Gross. You know, like, and he had a observable, like, adverse reaction to someone serving him reindeer. Mm-hmm. Just like, I don't know. That turns me off a little bit to be like, if you're going to host a travel show and you're going to go to Finland and you're going to meet with people in a village somewhere and they serve you something, like,
just eat it.
Just see. What is he so surprised? Like, so in a way, like, you know, he knew that he was going to do that, obviously. And so he kind of like plays it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like I can understand the reluctant traveler idea. And I get it where I can buy the pitch. But there has to be some kind of payoff of like, oh, I didn't want to do this. And then I did it. And it was amazing. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying. It's like,
who
wants
to watch somebody just not enjoy
and
something?
And just be grumpy and not enjoy something. Yeah,
Well, he plays his character, which is a straight man. Like, not that straight man. Like a straight. The straight like man in a comedy, which is like his dry humor plays really well off of another character that's more crazy and silly. And then crazy, silly things.
Like him and Moira.
Right.
Rose.
Like
him
and all the other characters in Schitt's Creek are like weird and they say silly stuff. And then they go to him and his dry, deadpan response is what's funny. But in the show, he doesn't have anybody there. Yeah. And so then that turns the people that he's interviewing into his like comedy partners.
Yeah.
And then his jokes don't land because the other person's not a comedy actor.
It feels really awkward.
That's unfair to bring a person, like a regular person that likes ice fishing in Finland into your bit unwittingly, and it kind of like makes him seem better than them in some way. But
yeah, he does really come across as being like snooty and like just like the reindeer thing. It's just like, okay, yeah, like would I want to eat reindeer? No, but like if I was in like an indigenous village or something and they like offer this to me, like I'm gonna eat it like and not be a dick about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I will say he does give himself what he wants in a way, because they do, he does stay at a really nice hotel in all the episodes.
That's true. Like. Oh my God. That Finland hotel, holy moly. It was like they have it set up. So the one, what would you call it? Almost looks like a tractor trailer, like the box like part of it, container. Like a shipping container. Like, they have it set up so that the one side of the shipping container is all glass and it's facing the sky where you would be most likely to see the Northern Lights, or what do you call it? What's the official name?
Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis. And so that shipping container hotel is amazing. Like the tub is set up so you can like potentially see the Northern Lights mm-hmm. while you're in the tub. I mean, can you imagine how amazing that would be?
Pretty great.
Come on. But I mean, he wasn't even super impressed by that, because she was like, oh yeah, look at this, here's the tub, and like it had a screen where you could either like close it so the window was closed, or open it so then you can, and he was just like, well, I'll be keeping it closed. And it's just like, all right, like,
here's an interesting thing you can do. Well, I won't now, be doing that.
I won't be doing that. And I'm, you're just reluctant. Like, why did you even do this show then? Like, what? I don't know. It is, I feel annoyed about it. I mean, you should definitely try it. I guess we're not really making it seem like you should try it, but I'm willing to give it one more try, because for the Venice episode, some of his family comes and meets him. Oh. I think his daughter and maybe his wife. So I think it'd be interesting to see what his dynamic was like with his family.
There's a certain enjoyment of watching an uncomfortable person go through something.
Yeah. Right?
Like there's something entertaining about that, but I don't know. It doesn't really pay off.
You don't know how much of it is a shtick, though, right?
And like, it feels like with him, everything is like playing up to a joke to land a line.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't feel genuine to me.
Yeah.
But at the end of the Finland episode, he does seem like genuinely happy, because happiness is kind of a theme throughout the episode. But
yeah,
he does seem to like, you know, be less grouchy and reluctant by the end of the episode, which is a pleasant story arc of the episode. But
what was the other show that we were talking about that's kind of similar to this? It was that guy, The Idiot Abroad, but that was less of him being grumpy, and it's been a long time since I watched it. Who was the main guy? Let me look it up.
Oh,
if you haven't watched The Idiot Abroad, that I would recommend that.
Friend of Ricky Gervais.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Idiot Abroad. So it had 3 seasons. Oh my God, it came out in 2010. Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
Yeah, they are behind their friend Carl.
The 8th episode. Practical joke turned sociology experiment. Carl Pilkington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they send him places, and Pilkington has reservations, to say the least. But for him, it's more so like he's never been anywhere, and so he's just sort of like, I don't know, like ignorant of culture or...
Well, yeah, and I think Carl is fun to watch because it's really, you can tell that he really doesn't like it, or he's doing a really good job. But he really doesn't ever want to leave like his house at all.
Yeah.
Which makes for a good story that now he's like out in India somewhere with monkeys. But like, Eugene Levy is sort of like, well, I would like this more if it were at a nice hotel, or like, I'd rather be golfing, honestly. You know, like,
he's super rich, whereas you're wow, you're so snooty and rich, whereas the Carl guy's probably not rich and is just like I'd rather be at my house.
Like the in the Finland episode, they're like, here we are, our top three things are food or animals, nature, and family. And it's like, wow. I like golf. It's like, shut up. You're annoying.
Do you want to complain about Eugene Levy anymore? No. I mean, do you think it's worth watching?
I think it's worth giving it a try and seeing if you feel the same way or
vibe with it.
And we could probably do with watching a couple more episodes.
Yeah, don't write it off. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't know.
There's probably there are good things in it, but
yeah, we'll give it another try.
On the place, maybe it depends on his mood.
Yeah.
How about Searching for Mexico?
Yeah, Searching for Mexico. So Eva Longoria. So this is kind of like a season two spinoff of Searching for Italy with Stanley Tucci, which we loved and talked about on the show. And so Stanley Tucci co-directs it with Eva Longoria. And so she is doing the same thing, sort of like going to all the different like regions. Are they called states in Mexico? I feel like she called them states.
I think probably states.
Yeah. So she's going to the different states.
Provinces? I don't know.
Oh, maybe provinces. Yeah. Every country calls them a different thing. But anyway, so this one's only coming out weekly. So we've only watched the first episode because that's the only one. The other one comes out tonight. They come out every Sunday. So she was in Mexico City. And so like her husband joined her for a little part of the episode, and they met up with friends to eat. Her husband's from Mexico City, and then her son's in like one of the scenes, which is cute. Mm-hmm. He's a tiny little 4-year-old kid, and they are just like so. Eva Longoria is just like so gorgeous and cute, but like again, she is super famous, but I feel like she doesn't dominate or like take over, and I feel like she's really humble and just like, you know, in contrast to the Eugene Levy, she's like very excited, very gracious, very humble, you know, very interested in it and open to trying anything. So it makes for a better show, I feel like, when you're like that.
It is focused on her as the host, but she blends in.
Yeah, well, she's Mexican. Do you mean she blends in
I don't mean like everybody looks like her. I mean like she's part of the show. Like looking at her is part of the enjoyment of the show.
Oh God.
But it was the same with Stanley Tucci. She's like, oh, it's man, true. That outfit Tucci is killing me. Glasses.
And like, she's gorgeous.
She wears great outfits, but she
amazing outfits.
Seamlessly blends in with what's going on, and like she puts herself in the middle of things. She's not anti, I don't know, she's not a necessarily a distraction so much, I feel like.
No, and she's just like, she just has a very natural way of interacting with the people, like same as Tucci did, like just like can have a conversation with anyone, and like it makes it look easy to just have a conversation with complete strangers. Yeah.
Making an effort to speak the language.
Yeah. A little bit. And being gracious to the hosts, which I feel like is what Eugene Levy wasn't doing, which is like, these people are opening their homes and their culture and their hearts to you. And then you're just like, ew, yuck.
I like golf.
It's so rude.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to more episodes because the first episode is Mexico City. And while I've never been to Mexico City,
love to go.
I felt a little bit like, well, I'd like to learn a little about like other places in Mexico because I really don't know anything about all the different regions of Mexico. So there's something interesting about like a deep dive on one country. Going through all the different regions, and then you can see how the food and the culture of people are different in the different regions, rather than just being like, Global Hotspot 1, Global Hotspot 2,
right?
Global Tourist Destination 3, like, I don't know. It's like,
yeah.
Gelato in Rome.
Right. Like, I hope they continue to do this. Like, if they, I wonder if they have thoughts about, like, another one that they would do with another person and, like, another country. Like, I hope they keep doing it because it's maybe really well done.
It's CNN.
Oh, I think. And yeah.
I don't know if CNN, I think a little while back they were, like, not doing original programming.
Really?
They were cutting back because, Allison Roman was going to have a show on CNN, I think, and it got...
Well, that was on the streaming service, and they that went under. Oh, that's why that happened, because they were going to do, like, CNN Plus or something as a streaming service, and then it went under, so that didn't work out. But, yeah, I was excited about that, to watch her have a travel show, but, yeah, I don't know whatever happened with that, but...
Maybe they're waiting to see how this one goes.
Yeah, I think there's been a, like, for me at least, there's been a void on, because Anthony Bourdain was on CNN.
Right, a name, like, that we did not mention throughout all of this, you know?
Yeah. Well, he was...
Sort of like the reigning king of food / travel shows.
Oh, but yeah, for sure.
There is now an opening for, you know, other things to come through. And, you know, he had a level of snark that... You know,
he did,
but it didn't.
It was, like, endearing, though.
He still went for everything. You know, he tried everything. He was in there. You know, maybe he wasn't having the best time sometimes, but, you know, well, he made a good. He put forth a good effort to understand the culture and ask questions about why things were certain ways and what people thought was going to happen in the future. And,
He became, over time, I think, more focused on, like, the people and politics and, like, social justice kind of issues and, like, less about food, like, over time.
Right.
Because they talk about that in the Roadrunner documentary. It's like, the more he saw the world, the more he realized how, like, just messed up it is for so many people who are living lives that are so unprivileged. Well, that, like, you know,
that brings
I mean?
It back around to these character-led travel shows, which is, like, it glosses over, well, not glosses over, but it chooses to focus on the host rather than what's really, like, a real true experience of what the country is like or what the city is like. And you have to decide what you're after. Like, don't tune into The Reluctant Traveler if you want to really know a lot about the country or the place he is. Tune in if you like Eugene Levy and you think that he's funny and you like his style of acting and hosting a show.
Yeah.
But, like, if you really want to know the ins and outs of a place, watch something like Rick Steves or something where you, like, he won't tell you necessarily about the politics, maybe, but he'll tell you about the art and the
architecture
and where you go to get certain things. So it's kind of just about what you're after.
It's true. Yeah, it is true. But yeah, I'm really excited for the rest of the Searching for Mexico. I think it's going to be really good. I just wanted tacos when I was watching that.
She does make tacos look very good.
She makes tacos look so good. Remember? And she was like, they were like, oh, you're eating them the right way. Cause I remember that from that other show with Samin Nosrat, the fire.
Oh,
salt, acid,
something heat,
heat,
fat.
Oh, salt, acid, fat, heat. I don't know. I literally have a phone right in front of me, but I'm just trying to do this from memory for some reason. But anyway, that show is also amazing. And that was a travel/ food show. But I remember that's where I learned about, like, how you're supposed to eat tacos, which is you hold the taco level and you bow your head to the side so that stuff doesn't fall out. And I thought, oh my gosh.
Genius.
I never knew.
People but have been eating
she
tacos.
Talks about that. I have wanted to go to Mexico City for a long time, and I would just want to like see how many tacos I could eat in one day. How many tacos do you think you could eat in one day?
Those little tiny street tacos?
Street tacos.
Like dozen.
Like 20?
Two dozen, probably, over the course of a day.
20. Yeah. I think 20. Yeah.
Easily. Well, maybe in the future we'll do an episode from Mexico City.
Oh, man, that'd be so cool. Yeah, where do you, where have you been thinking about going? Or any...
I mean, our summer trip.
That you're interested in trying.
I've been thinking about our summer trip to Croatia, which I can't wait to see Dubrovnik.
Yeah, yeah.
And get some beach time. Beach and ocean time.
Yeah. We just reserved on TripAdvisor a boat day trip. It's a full day trip. They pick you up at your hotel, they take you to 3 different islands, and lunch is served on the boat. Alcohol. Wait, what did they? The way they worded it was so weird. It was like alcohol excluded, except for wine and brandy, or alcohol not included, except wine and brandy.
Yeah.
And Steve goes, "I'll drink brandy."
I want to go somewhere where wine and brandy are just kind of like included as like.
I don't really like brandy though. Do you really like it?
Wine and brandy supplied. I don't know. I mean, yeah, we had brandy with our neighbor, remember?
Oh, my gosh.
E&J brandy.
Yeah, it's okay. It's still too sweet for me.
Well, maybe we can, we'll do an episode where we try a couple different brandies, see what we like. Oh,
okay. Yeah, that could be cool. But yeah, looking forward to that for sure. Any other travel food thoughts?
No, but I am excited to start the second season.
Me too.
Of this and similar tastes, and I think that food and travel. I'm excited that the world is opening up to us, and it's springtime, and we can get out and start having some fun experiences and talking about them on the show.
Exactly. Speaking of that, we're going to be getting ready to go for a windy bike ride.
Yeah, let's go on our windy bike ride. See you next time.
Bye.